some how-to stuff out there on the table. Is there, how many people look at those books I have out there? All right, got wilderness survival how-to and how to fix things around the house and crocheting or something. Something out there. Cutting your family's hair, and we had a pile of those different things, and that went through. We have a lot of how-to books at our house, and we just brought a few of them, but we're teaching about the how-tos of the Christian life and how to do different things. And tonight, this morning, we're going to talk about how to overcome. I'm going to be in Revelation 21, almost the end of the Bible. How to overcome. How to overcome. As we do this series and continue on it, I hope you will find some practical ways of how to do things in the Christian life, not just information, but how to do something, and just point by point things and step by step. How to overcome. Revelation 21, and it says, verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Isn't that beautiful? Never another tear, no more pain, anything else? And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he turned, and he said unto me, "Write, for these things, for these words are true and faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Verse 7 is our focus here. "And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Now, if you know your Bible a little bit about all the promises of heaven, that's a pretty amazing promise. I mean, if you're going to Disneyland and you said, "Hey, you know what, you get everything at Disneyland, anything you want," you'd be pretty excited. I mean, everything costs something there. It's hard to get everything. But he that overcomes in heaven gets all things. I mean, everything in heaven, every reward. Everybody in heaven doesn't get the same rewards. The Bible's very clear on that. The Bible says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for great is your reward in heaven." You get more rewards if you're persecuted. You get more rewards for winning souls or giving or everything you do. Even a cup of cold water receives a prophet's reward. Everything in heaven's recorded, and God gives you rewards. And there are things in heaven that not everybody has access to. And I'll read you verses in a minute. They'll tell you that in Revelation 2 and 3. But him that overcometh inherits everything. I reckon I want to be an overcomer to inherit everything in heaven. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help us today and help us to see what you have for us. May your spirit speak. May man just be put aside, and may I disappear in Jesus Christ, be exalted and say and do what he wants done, Father. The help of man is vain, but your spirit can transform us, Lord. I'm not going to stand up here and try to impress people and try to preach a great message, Father. But I do want to share what you have from your word, and I pray that your spirit would take over, say what you want said, and do what you want done the way you want it done. It's your time, it's your church, it's your word. We give it to you and ask you to work and do something powerful, Father, and change lives in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could change or overcome one thing, if you're like me, there's several things. What would it be? You don't have to say it out loud. I'm not talking about a physical attribute. I would like to be 3 inches taller. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking anything physical. Unless the physical thing is because of something that needs to be conquered. Sometimes there is that. You have physical problems because you're not, you can't control your eating or other things, and that might be one of the things you'd overcome. But if you could overcome one thing in your entire life, or two things, if we had the magic wand today, I could snap a finger and say, "Okay, it's overcome. Bring me your one thing up here today, and we're gonna snap our finger, and whatever you need overcome will be overcome." What would that be? How many could think of something? Raise your hand. All right. And the rest of you, I'm sure that it is you're too humble to tell us, and you have it all together, and I know, I'm not, don't, you can raise your hand, I wasn't going to ask you. And so, but you, there are things that we like to overcome. There's things I like to overcome. When I started as a Christian, oh man, the list was big. I mean, I was, everything was wrong. Everything I did wrong, everything in my character and my nature and my thoughts and my life was a disaster, and I needed everything overcome and started the process of overcoming. When I was saved, I was very fortunate. I was not around average Christians. I was around great Christians. And those great Christians did a great thing. They never told me that I couldn't become a great Christian and that I couldn't conquer, and we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. The tone has changed in Christianity much, and many people I talk to, I find it very common that they say, well, yeah, you know, I probably should, but, you know, it's hard, and I probably can't. And the acceptance of mediocrity and the lack of overcoming, if it sickens me, I can't imagine what the Lord thinks. He said, I'd rather be hot or cold than lukewarm. And there is a God of the universe sitting there saying, I want you to be great, and I want you to overcome, and he gives you the ability to do that. You know, you can, whatever you just thought of, overcome it. We're going to teach you how to in a minute, but I want you to understand that anything you want to overcome, you can overcome.
That's right.
It's there in Christ, and you can do that. Those that overcome inherit all things. Everything is possible. Every possible reward in heaven is open to them. It's a special privilege. It's the few who really overcome and become great and get the great rewards in heaven. Revelation, I'm going to read out of Revelation again, chapter 2, and I'll just show you a lot of verses here that say talk about the overcomers and what they get. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. Every single church he talks to seven churches, a picture of the complete church. He talks to every church. He promises if they overcome, they're going to get great things. Verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Overcomers get to eat of the tree of life. It's in heaven. Verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And I'm not going to teach you all these, but I believe what that means is that the judgment seat of Christ, they don't get burned. Other people, the judgment seat of Christ, are saved like as though by fire, and they suffer hurt, the Bible says. They suffer loss. But overcomers, when they get the judgment seat of Christ, it's only reward, and God's saying, well done. And those that overcome get that. Verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and the stone of the new name written, which no man knoweth, save he that receiveth. You're going to get two things. You're going to get to eat a special hidden manna. Now think about that. Think of being there for trillions of years in heaven, and you're not one of the ones who get to eat of that manna. And you ask people, man, what does it taste like? I say, buddy, you should overcome on earth. That life lasts you 50 years, and you dinked and dunked around. Man, you'd have been able to eat this stuff forever. You missed out. And then he gives you a white stone, and God himself writes a name for you, a special name that nobody else will know except for you and God, a pet little name. It's like you couples who still have the affection. Remember that? And you have your pet little names for each other. You should still have that, by the way. I've been married 20 years. And we still have all the affection and love more than before. We still have a very wonderful, passionate relationship and a special name. I don't know what it is. It's probably not your names. Your names are probably Goofy, Honey Bunny, and Boopsie Whoopsie, or whatever you call each other. But God has a special name for you that nobody knows it. And nobody, it's a secret name between you and God. And I bet you the way God names people in the Bible, it has something to do with what you did on earth. Conqueror of your bad thoughts, or something else, or something great. But God gives you a special name. It's probably pretty cool. And when you get there, if you're an overcomer, if you're not an overcomer, you don't get the white stone. But you'll be happy in heaven. You'll be glad you're there. You'll be glad to receive Jesus. You'll be happy. But I want everything. I won't be greedy here on earth. I'll be greedy for heaven, though.
Come on now.
And verse 26, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received my Father. And I will give him the morning star. Jesus called the morning star. I give myself. He that overcometh. It says the time he's talking about, he rules the nations. It's a 1,000-year reign of Christ where Jesus is on physically on earth. And for 1,000 years, it's talked about in chapter 20 of Revelation. Jesus is on earth ruling from Jerusalem. He's physically on earth for 1,000 years. And then what happens is all of his saints, they are ruling with him on earth. But it says those that overcome get a rule over the nations. And he talks about another parable in Matthew. He says, to some I give authority to rule over 10 cities, and some over 5 cities, and some over 1 cities. What you do on earth determines what you rule during the millennium for the 1,000 years. We are in charge. We are in glorified bodies, and we're ruling with Jesus, and we're in charge of the entire world. And some people will say, God will say, you overcame great things. You get a rule over America. You get a rule over Mexico, and get a rule over great things. And some people, well, you get a rule over Roy. You get a rule over Slippery Rock, some little town of nowhere. And someone says, you know what? You get to hang around, but you don't rule anything. You never overcame anything. To him that overcometh, well, I get to get a, well, I'll let him rule over the nations. Verse 26 and 25. Sounds like overcomers get a lot of things. He continues, chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. You wear in heaven, by the way, what you earn on earth. I will not, that's what the Bible says, if so being clothed, 2 Corinthians 5:1, we shall not be found naked. You wear in heaven, your clothing is your works. And some people glow very brightly and some don't. He that overcometh, the saints shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 12, him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. There's a temple just like the temple on earth in heaven. And those that overcome are pillars inside the temple where God dwells. Pretty good privileges. Pretty good privileges. Verse 12, him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. He's just going to hang around in the temple forever. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. It's the only tattoo you're ever allowed to have, which is in New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Revelation chapter 3, and again, overcoming. Verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Whoa! You sit with Jesus in his throne. Hallelujah. To him that overcometh will I be able to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and sit in my Father's throne. Overcomers get a lot of things. Everybody in church, in all these churches, had these chances to overcome and inherit all things. But not every but Christian is an overcomer. Now, they're happy in heaven. They're saved like as though by fire, as 1 Corinthians 3 says. However, they don't earn the great. And that's how life is. You don't try very hard in life, you usually don't get much back in life. But he that overcomes gets all these things. Now, you don't get to heaven because you overcome. You get to heaven because you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, because you trust him alone to save you and not yourself, because you realize you're the sinner and he's the Savior and you need him. And you come and say, I know you died for me on the cross. I believe you died for me, were buried and rose again from the dead, and I trust you as my Savior. That's how you get to heaven. But after that, what you earn is by overcoming. Overcoming. Everybody in church has a chance to be an overcomer. Jesus said right here in verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit in my throne, even as I also overcame. Jesus was an overcomer, and he had overcome in his life on earth. He was tempted, he was tried, he was rejected and despised by men, and he overcame and made it all the way to the cross and died for our sins, never having sinned and never having failed his Father. He was an overcomer. He overcame death. And that's a good thing, and he's an overcomer. And we want to be like Jesus and be an overcomer in life. John 16:33, Jesus says this. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. Jesus overcame the entire world. Yes, he did. Thank you, Lord. And that's the way we can be as overcomers like Jesus. Yeah. And we need to become overcomers because Jesus was an overcomer. We want to please him. We want to be like him. And we need to do that. Christians in the New Testament were overcomers. You could lock them in jail, they'd overcome it and preach the gospel still. You could persecute them, they would rejoice that they're worthy to be counted to suffer shame for his name. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, ye are of God and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, he says, I write unto you young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You've overcome Satan.
Thank you, Lord.
New Testament Christians, it was assumed they overcame. Yet now we live in a generation of victims. Well, I just grew up this way, and my parents did this to me, and I just suffer this, and it's really hard for me to do this, and I'm just like this. I'm glad nobody ever told me I had to be a certain way. I refuse to be called a victim. And by the way, if you talk to me and use a victim card, it ain't going to fly with me. I've seen too many victims become conquerors. You're looking at one. I'm tired of victimhood in this generation. I'm tired of people telling you, you got to be this. I was born like this. My mom did this. My great-grandma, she bumped into a coffee table with my great-grandma, and now I have mental problems. Stop. My mom wasn't nice to my dad, so I just don't treat men right. No, you don't treat men right because you decide not to overcome your weakness. You don't treat your husband right, and you don't treat your wife. You abuse your kids not because your daddy abused you. You abuse your kids because you don't love Jesus enough, and you decide not to overcome your temper. You need to become an overcomer. Well, it's just, God just made me this way. I can't conquer this pornography thing. No, you can conquer it.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's enough. It doesn't fly to open door. You become an overcomer. You don't have to be a victim. You got the God of the universe dwelling inside of you.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
You don't have to be weak and defeated and powerless and fall into failure. You don't have to do that. You can do great things. Hey, I had no daddy. I'm a pretty good dad. Because I decided to conquer not knowing how to be a dad and being a bad dad. Okay? You need to be an overcomer. So what did you think about earlier? What did you think when I said, if you can overcome one thing, what is it? It's time to conquer that. Because the Bible is going to tell you how to conquer it and how to be an overcomer. The Bible says in Romans 8, yea, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. God's big. God's powerful. You can conquer. The Bible is full of conquerors. Jesus was a conqueror. New Testament Christians were conquerors. Our Bible is full of people who conquered things. And those are our heroes. Hey, David killed Goliath. And people did great things and they conquered things and we like them because of it. And they're our heroes. We would never have celebrated if David killed a mouse.
Because he didn't do it in Christ.
We would never say, hey, my favorite story is David killing the possum. You know what? It's not, what's the big deal? What's the big deal about doing easy things? It takes God to do big things, and you can do those things. And we need to realize that we can do those things. You know what's exciting? You say, oh, I have this big thing. I have this thing. It's so hard for me. I'm so weak. It is. You don't understand, Pastor. You don't have big things like I have to conquer. Is that funny? You know how bad I am, huh? You know, can I tell you this? Aren't you glad that God gave you an opportunity to earn a bunch of treasures in heaven?
Yes, Lord Jesus, in Christ Jesus.
See, you're not sitting here saying, I got the biggest things to conquer, poor me. You're saying, man, you know I've got bigger opportunities than anybody else here. Man, some of you got some pretty big opportunities. You've made some big things to overcome. Or your family, or your growth, or whatever. You've got some big opportunities to inherit all things. I mean, God's going to be impressed. Or you can say, poor me, and lay on the ground and become a victim. And be miserable in failure and in mediocrity and in I can't do it the rest of your life. I think that's a terrible way to live. And I think with the God of the universe on your side, if you're born again, you have that opportunity to do great things. Christians during the tribulations overcome, during the tribulation even overcome, Revelation chapter 12. So we see the New Testament Christians, Jesus, Christian people all with the Bible, they all were overcomers. Revelation chapter 12. And now, even during the tribulation, the Antichrist is roaming the world with all the power, and the mark of the beast is out there, and Christians' heads are getting cut off, you find Christians overcoming. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. By the way, they overcame the Antichrist and Satan. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and be ye that dwell in them. He says, you know what? The devil's cast down, and the devil's fighting now in this chapter. But you know what? They overcame him. They overcame him. How did they overcome him? Well, we've got simple points out of the Bible. God's going to give us how to overcome. First of all, right in this passage, we've got a few ways. First of all, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we kind of have this obscure thing of, I pray the blood of Jesus over this. Is there any verse in the Bible that says that? It's kind of a man thing. I don't mind you doing that. It's not wrong, nothing like that. Very simply, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed us from all our sins. That's what the Bible says. You know what it means when they overcame with the blood of the Lamb? It's called salvation. It's called salvation. Hey, I at 16 years old, grew up with every kind of bad thing and every kind of sin in my life and every kind of bad habit, you name it, everything in my life. And I received Jesus Christ. And I said, Lord, I can't save myself because of my sin. I need Jesus Christ in my life. I'm not good enough. He came into my life. When you receive Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. And I all of a sudden got some power in me. I'm not saying I became powerful. I mean, I just got the God of the universe inside me. And guess what? Salvation brings overcoming. Because I said, I don't know if my life's going to change. I don't know if I'm going to do anything different. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit started tapping my heart and saying, you can't do this anymore. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit started stirring my heart and giving me hunger for the Bible. And the Holy Spirit started touching this and doing that and working on this and strengthening this. And pretty soon, I started finding myself overcoming because I got salvation. If I think if somebody says they received Jesus Christ and never changes, I don't think they got salvation.
Come on now. That's the truth.
Thank salvation you. Brings change.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
They ever came in by the blood of the Lamb. They received Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you've never been born again, can I tell you, if you'll receive Jesus Christ today, you can overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
You will get Jesus Christ in your heart. You will get the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you suddenly have a power greater than any power in the universe, and you can conquer. It starts with the blood of the Lamb. It changes your life. It brings Jesus into your life. Remember our memory verse? Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You have the power to overcome because salvation brings Jesus into your life. And by the way, you won't overcome without Jesus Christ. But that salvation brings Jesus Christ. You cannot overcome Satan and sin in the world and yourself without Jesus. The devil will destroy you. Mm-hmm. You will go back and say, look, I overcame for a minute. Plop.
Yeah.
Failure.
Right.
Worse. You'll be in worse defeat. You need Jesus Christ. You can't overcome without him. And it's not religion. And it's not a church. Open door can't make you conquer you and sin and the devil. It's Jesus Christ and salvation through him. You want to overcome? First of all, it says he overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Salvation by Jesus Christ. His blood was shed for our sins. And that's great. Verse 11, it says he overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the word of their testimony. By the word of their testimony. What do you think that is? The word of testimony is very simply, it's witnessing. Witnessing. I want you to listen to me real carefully here. You say it's not my gift, witnessing is. Not mine either. Okay? I want you to understand that there are certain people who have the gift of an evangelist. They naturally love witnessing and they win people to Christ left and right. It's their gift. Brian has that gift. I don't. Okay? I'm still commanded to do it. Some people have the gift of giving, but everybody's commanded to give. Some people just do it easily and it's their natural gift. Because you don't have a gift doesn't mean you're not obligated to do something. There's a gift of helps in the Bible. I don't have the gift of help, so I'm not going to help anybody. No. Every Christian, you are called to be a witness for Christ. You're called to tell people about Jesus. Hey, when I get up this morning, I got the stupidest shirt on the planet. The shirt has no pocket. Dumbest shirt in the world. Can't send this shirt. But guess what? I always want to have a track on me. So guess what I did? Grab some tracks, put them in my inside pocket here. Because you know what? Thursday night, I was dropping off some kids at home, driving the bus, and a lady walked up and said, what church are you from? I said, from Open Door. Just, where's that church at? I said, and pulled that thing out and gave it to her. You know why? I always want to be a witness for Christ. I always want to share Jesus Christ. And by the way, these things got the whole gospel inside of them.
Beautiful tracks.
Every single the whole how to get to heaven, Bible verses, and a prayer at the end, how to receive Christ. And so we go out there, and we want to be a witness for Christ. Can I tell you something real quickly? Did you know that the greatest Christians are soul winners? People who witness. It changes your life. See, when you become a witness, your life changes. You realize the importance of you being godly. You realize all you have to do is go witness to somebody and say, you know what? Just like talk to you for a sec. You know, if you die today, go to heaven. Oh, I don't believe in that stuff. My mom says a Christian. She was a hypocrite, and I don't believe any of that stuff anymore. And you know what you find out? that you better live like a Christian.
That's right.
Because it affects people, and it makes you become more holy, and it makes you realize, Lord, I need your power. Lord, I want that person to be saved. Lord, I want those triplets to turn out to be great men of God. Lord, I've got to be holy. I've got to be great. I've got to have your spirit upon me. I've got to have you. People in church, there's people in there with drug problems, people in there with wickedness in their life. There's all kinds of sins, God. I've got to have your power to influence them, God. I've got to have your spirit, because you are now doing something for God, and you need God because you've got to impact people, and you become holy.
Yes.
So you overcome by the word of your testimony, by telling somebody what Jesus did in your life, by telling about the Holy Spirit, by telling how God moved, by telling about the Bible, by sharing the word of God with people. It changes you. If you want to overcome, you need to learn to be a soul winner. The Holy Spirit, by the way, there's special promises for people who witness. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, he says, to witnesses, go ye therefore and teach all nations, and lo, I am with you always. I hear a lot of people claim that verse, but that verse is in context. That's people witnessing. They get Jesus with them in a special way. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. The Holy Ghost power was for witnessing. Not to make you roll around in the aisle, and not to make you have a tingle down your spine or anything like that. The Holy Spirit power is for you to help people and to understand the Bible. And the Holy Spirit's for a purpose. And the Holy Spirit comes upon those that are witnesses in a special way. Jesus said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal those that are sick, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty the captives, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He said, the Holy Spirit's upon me because I'm going to be working for him. A lot of people talk about Holy Spirit power and don't understand it's for a purpose. It's not for self-edification to feel good. It's to go impact a life. It's to change the world. It's to win a soul. It's to restore a Christian back to God. It's to bring revival. It's not for you. It's for to flow through you. And those who have, who go and have a witness, they find out they become overcomers. Next, how do these people here overcome? And they love not their lives unto death. They overcame because they did not love their life, even to death. Hey, these Christians, guess what? Satan came down and said, take the mark of the beast. They said, no, we believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We're going to go tell people about him. And he said, all right, cut their heads off. And the Bible says three times that Satan wore them out. But guess what? He didn't win. Because they went and they got their heads cut off, but they won souls and told about Jesus and stayed faithful to death. And when you are faithful to God, even willing to die for him, you become an overcomer. They became overcomers because they didn't love their life, even unto death. But too many of us love our lives. What I want to do, what I desire to do, what my dreams are, what my plans are. But he says they overcame because they did not love their lives, even to death. Too many of us are wondering about how we're going to be happy and what's going to bless us and how God's going to bless us and what's going to be fun for me and what am I going to like. But you know what? Serving God isn't always fun.
That's right.
Hey, the martyrs got their families fed to the lions, but they conquered because they didn't love their lives unto death. That's what we've got to do is love our lives, not at all. And they did not love their lives unto death, not love our lives. He that loses his life shall find it. Next, how do we go and become overcomers? We said we had the blood of the Lamb through salvation, the word of the testimony through witnessing, dying to self, loving not your lives to death. And next, we see, how do we overcome? Romans 12 is going to tell us that. Romans 12, if you don't have a Bible, that's fine. I'll be reading the verses to you. Well, I just don't believe that you're saying. That's just a bunch of book stuff, it's about Bible stuff. How's your way working? How's your conquering going? Works real good for us. God of the Bible works. It always works. Romans 12 says how to be a conqueror. Romans 12, verse 11. Let me go forward here. I got the wrong verse here. Romans chapter 12. I'm going to find it right here because it's in this chapter. It says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Last verse at 21. There it is. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Ready? How do you overcome evil?
Good.
You ready? All you got to do is overcome your evil with good things. All right, you ready? You're smart. You're a smart crowd. Okay? You're going to overcome your evil with good. Okay, let's say you got a problem with gossip. How would you overcome that with good? Speak good about people. Say good things. Isn't it a beautiful day outside today? You know, beat the grump to the punch. You know what you have to do? You have to take your weakness and attack it with good. You got to say, you know what? I've got to fill my filthy mouth with a bunch of good things. I'm just going to immediately start saying, good morning, Lord. Thank you I'm alive today. Thank you I can walk. Honey, how you doing? You sure look beautiful today. Lord, sorry for sinning. You just start off and you just go around and start saying good things. Boy, isn't it a beautiful day. Boy, I'm glad I get to go to work today. You know what you do every day to work? I have to go to a stupid job and boss and supervisor. Bible says, don't murmur. And you go and you say, boy, I'm glad I have a job today and everybody has a job. And you say, you know what? I'm glad I can walk to work. And you know what? Walk up to your coworkers and say, you know what? The one you hate the worst. And so you know what? I am glad today that God gave me the ability to walk and come to work today. And you know what? I want you to know I love you. Come on. Fill your mouth with good. They'll die of a heart attack. You don't have to worry about them anymore. But you feel your mouth, you just go out and you just start blessing. Bible says blessing for cursing. Yeah. You conquer your evil by putting good in its place. You do not remove the evil and think it's going to be fine. The Bible says you'll get 7 times worse at the end. You've got to put good things in there to conquer the evil. You've got to fill with good things. You've got to overcome with good things. And you've got to put good things in there and do that. You've got to conquer, overcome evil with good. You got to replace. If you have a critical spirit, you'd notice a blessing. If your mouth says bad things, you say good things. Let me read you another verse that says this. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4:25, wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Listen to this. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him which needeth. You know what the Bible says? And by the way, when I'll go down to RJC, or I'll go down to one of the jails around here, and I'll find somebody who's in jail for stealing or whatever, larceny, whatever he's doing. And I'll just tell him, when you get out, here's what you have to do. All those energies you have are going to go to working very hard so you can now begin to give to people. Because your problem is you're so self-centered, you don't care if you hurt somebody else by taking their stuff. And you're going to work so hard, you're going to work 60 hours a week, so not only can you pay your bills, you're going to go, fine, I'm going to give you some people who need their bills paid, and you're going to go pay their bills. You're going to overcome your evil. I don't let people just go sit around at home and say, I'm just not going to steal anymore. Their mind's going to start planning. But when they're thinking about who they're going to help, it pushes out the evil. You want to be overcome? You overcome evil with good. You find something good to do. You find a way to bless your enemies instead of getting bitter. It's hard, but it's how you overcome. How do you overcome? You overcome evil with good. Next, how do you overcome? You overcome by faith. You overcome by faith. 1 John 5 says this, and a couple of the passages we'll give you. 1 John 5. This is verse 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, has salvation. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4. Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Faith. Very simple. It says you overcome the world because you have faith. The faith is a victory that cometh the world. Very simple. When you say, I don't believe I can ever change, you don't have any faith, so you won't overcome. In the last verse of Matthew 13, I think it's verse 58, it says this. It says, Jesus could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. Faith. See, those who believe they have a big God, I'm not talking doctrinally, because all of us believe we have a big God doctrinally. I mean, practically. That the guy says, you know what? I can bench press 500 pounds. All right, we'll try it. Well, you know, I could do it, but I just don't need to do it right now. Okay? You know, when you say you believe God's big and you don't, God's all powerful. Awesome. So you can conquer your sin, right? Well, no, it's been in my life for 20 years. Well, you have nice doctrine, but the doctrine really doesn't apply to anything practical. You mean the God of the universe said, let there be light and made all the galaxies, can't help you conquer that sin? I'm going to see a pretty big sin. The faith. I read about a church there. They had a drought, a big drought, and they called for church prayer. We're going to pray for rain. It was an agricultural community. And he said, this, I think it was a Monday night, everybody come tomorrow night, we're going to pray for rain. And not everybody came, but a good crowd of people came. And the pastor looked out there and he just looked at their faces and said, boy, we're going to pray for rain, folks. People are losing their crops and losing their farms, and we've got to pray for rain to come. And he looked around the room, and he saw some faces. They were expectant, and some were kind of nervous, and some looked worn and tired. And he looks at the very end, and he sees the little girl there. And he looks at her, and he says, boy, you look happy. Why are you so happy? She says, I brought my umbrella. Because she had faith. She had faith. And when we have faith and believe God, that helps us overcome. We believe that Jesus is greater than Satan. We believe God is greater than our flesh. We believe that he is greater than the world. We believe that sin is not more powerful than our Savior. And we don't believe that. Caleb had faith in Numbers 13:30 and going to the promised land. There were giants there and walled cities and everything else. And he said, we are well able to overcome them. Well able to overcome them. Glenn Cunningham was a man. Anyone know who Glenn Cunningham is? Glenn Cunningham was a... was a boy. When he was 8 years old, they had a fire at his schoolhouse. In that fire, his 13-year-old brother was killed, and his legs were so severely burned that it burned off all of his toes on his left foot, burned off part of the arch on his foot, and burned every bit of skin all the way up to his knees and a lot of the skin above his knees. And the doctor said, you know what? He is not going to ever be able to walk again. Let's go ahead and amputate his leg so he doesn't get an infection. His parents said no. He said no. And he had his 8-year-old boy. He couldn't do anything for 2 years. At the end of 2 years, he decided to walk. He was a Christian. And he took up the verse, Isaiah 40:31, is his favorite verse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And Glenn Cunningham just said, you know what? I'm going to try this. After 2 years, he decided he could walk. And he got up and he took his steps. No toes in his foot. So the... Everything got burned inside the leg, all the tendons, everything was severely just terrible. It was so bad. It was so badly burned. Arch was wrong and everything. I started walking. He said, you know what? God wants me to walk, and God wants me to get better. And I'm going to show that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and I'm going to become stronger. 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 He got stronger. He started to run. In 1936, he won the silver medal in the Olympics. No toes on his left foot, arch halfway gone. Legs had been fried as an 8-year-old boy. He's a world record mile runner. For about 20 years, he held a world record. First, he did it in 4 minutes and 6 seconds. If you know anything about running, that's fast. Got it down to 4 minutes and 4 seconds before he just got a little too old. He wasn't the one who broke the 4-minute record, but it took about 20 years after he got done before anybody broke 4 minutes. Because he decided to overcome. He decided that God wanted him to run, and he was going to run. And by the way, he ran fast. He broke the world record in the 800 meter, held for many, many, many decades. Same guy, remember? Amputated his legs. See, you can overcome if you believe God can help you do it. Do you believe you can overcome? Do you believe that you can do that thing? Do you believe that God is powerful enough? The devil can do big things in your life and really hit you hard. Life can deal you hard things, and you can have addictions, and you can and there's people in this room who have addictions right now. Some have had addictions, and by the way, we don't always identify every sin as an addiction, but you're addicted to a sin, even if it's not drugs or alcohol. You can't quit cussing, you're addicted. Can't quit lying, you're addicted. If you can't quit being nasty and mean, you're addicted. It's overcoming. And all those things are. And if, by the way, so you decide, can I overcome? Can I overcome? I laugh, it's Super Bowl Sunday. And somebody says, Pastor, you don't understand how much I love football. I do understand. I love football. And you know what? Somebody would say, Pastor, how am I going to overcome this? How am I going to go to church tonight? You know what you do? You take all that dip and all those chips and all that pizza and all those pops and you bring them to church. And you feed us. And you overcome that evil with good. And we'll talk about the first half. That's how you do it. Barbecue ribs, throw those in there. we'll be set for tonight. When you decide to overcome, when you make a serious decision, Lord, enough of this, I can overcome. Then you say, I know I'm saved, the Holy Spirit's inside of me. I'm going to start witnessing. I'm going to die to myself. I'm going to overcome evil with good. I'm going to overcome by faith. The devil, no matter what he's put in your life, how bad things are, you overcome. One final story. John Bunyan was a preacher in England. The Puritans were there first when he was there, and they let him preach. Then the Church of England came in very great power, the Anglican Church, and they said, you may not preach anymore without a license, and only in the Church of England, and he wasn't part of the Church of England, and he thought God gave him my license, so he continued to preach. And they threw him in jail. They locked him up, and he ended up being there for 12 years. He had his wife die. He had 4 kids. He got out for just a brief period, got remarried, had 2 more kids. They put him in prison again. One of his daughters, his oldest daughter, was blind. They brought his oldest daughter into him after several years and said, Daddy, will you please just take the license and only preach in their churches so you can come out and be with me? I'm blind. And he said, honey, I love you, but I got to obey Jesus. And he stayed in prison. During that time, he was a writer and a very smart man, and John Bunyan, he decided to write a book, and he took his charcoal they gave him in the room to light a fire in the jail, and he took the milk stoppers, which are paper they stuffed into the top of the milk, and he started writing a book. And yes, they locked him up, and yes, he couldn't preach out there, but he had a church of 60 in the jail. Most of the jail was a primary member of his jail church. And he started writing his book with the charcoal because they wouldn't let him write. He asked for tablets. He asked for pen or paper, and they wouldn't give it to him. They said, no, we're not going to let you write. So he took the milk stoppers, folded them out, uncreakled them, flattened them out, took the charcoal, and started writing his book. The book was called Pilgrim's Progress. And yes, Satan had him locked up in jail, but he didn't have him overcome. And Pilgrim's Progress is probably the second most read book in history. We don't know how many copies of it are because it's not copyrighted. Most of our missionary, they translate the Bible into the language of whatever country they go to, then they translate Pilgrim's Progress. So we don't know how many copies there are. We know it's in over 200 languages. But there's at least 100 million copies of it. Why? Because he wouldn't be conquered. And he overcame the jail. And he overcame the government that wouldn't let him do what he wanted to do. And he has a huge impact today. You can overcome. It's time for you not to be a victim anymore. It's time to realize the God of the universe dwells inside of you. It's time to not be mediocre anymore. It's time to not say, well, I'm pretty good in this and this and this and this and this. And this, I don't want to talk about that. No, let's talk about it. Let's you and Jesus talk about it and say, no, I'm no more. And quit trying some self-help thing. And it doesn't work. We just gave you the Bible way. That will work. You have salvation. You're born again. You receive Jesus Christ. You witness and you share the word of God. You overcome by not loving your life unto death, being willing to die for Jesus. Overcome evil with good and replace that evil, that thing needs overcome with good things, and by believing that God can do it. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. How to overcome. It's time to overcome. Let's pray. Father, it's a sad thing, and people start just picking out a few areas of their life that are good and ignore the areas that are failures when they could overcome and be great in every area. And Lord, you have a great expectation for Christians because you are a great God and you're inside of us. May we be great Christians. May we be great conquerors for you. Lord, help us to overcome. I pray if there's somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior today, they don't know for 100% sure they're going to heaven. Father, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. I pray if there's some Christians who've dwelt too long on lower ground and not conquering. I pray today would be time to conquer. Lord, I pray today, give us wisdom and desire and help us to really make these decisions we ought to make. In Jesus' name, our heads are still